This is Plantarama, a weekly look at what's happening in the world of horticulture from Kansas State University. I'm Jeff Wickman. With the expected arrival of some insect pests this spring, K-State horticultural entomologist Raymond Cloyd says that identifying the insect pests, determining whether treatment is necessary, and then seeking a treatment can help reduce the use of pesticides. Raymond, as we start thinking about spring weather, we're also thinking that some of those insects that overwinter may start to emerge in the spring.
Yeah, Jeff, there's a number of ones that overwinter as adults, like squash bugs, everybody's favorite overwinters as adults. And there's a number of other insects that overwinter, like the Asian ladybird beetle is in our homes. And as soon as it's getting warmer, they're going to be wanting to go outside. But yeah, the ones that overwinter as adults will be the first ones to appear. And so just be aware of that in your vegetable gardens and trees and landscapes. The pest that we're probably going to be looking in the future is eastern tent caterpillar, which is a caterpillar that creates a nest in the crotches of trees, primarily those in the rosaceae family, apple, crabapple, those types, cherry and plum. And then the clover mites might start coming in. As soon as the turf grass starts getting greener and greener, and if you have turf grass growing around your foundation, that'll allow easy access to clover mites. So you might want to, put mulch or rock, about 2 feet away. Don't have the turf grass up against the foundation to alleviate problems with clover mites. Yeah.
One of the things we often hear about when we think about insects is using pesticides, and we don't really have to always use pesticides, do we?
Absolutely. I mean, we always talk about non-pesticidal means, and there's a number of them. The main one is keeping your plants as healthy as possible through water, fertility, mulching. That'll alleviate problems like wood-boring insects, because those are insects that hone in on, quote, unhealthy plants or stress plants, basically. Then there's hand removal or vacuuming, squishing. Those are methods that you can use. So before you go ahead and go to the garden center or pick up a pesticide, make sure you pick up the right one. Think of some non-pesticidal means of dealing with insect pests, mulching plants, pruning dead, disease, and dying branches out. And we have extension publications and we have extension individuals in our department that can help you deal with that. And that just isn't for insects and mites, but also for diseases too.
There's also oils and soaps and things like that too, right?
Yeah, oils and soaps are, my first one is always a forceful or high pressure water spray to dislodge soft-bodied insects like aphids and mites. That works wonders, and they don't come back. Safe to humans, safe to the environment. Then soaps are desiccants, insecticidal soaps, and that is the EPA-registered ones, which have the active ingredient potassium salts and fatty acids. Do not use dish soaps, Joy, palm olive. Those are not pesticides, and they can actually burn your plants. And then oils, mineral oils, neem-based oils, those are suffocants. They block the breathing pores, which we call in entomology spiracles, and the insects or mites die of asphyxiation. However, those materials will kill beneficial insects, and they will kill bees on contact. So you don't want to spray when bees are active. They just don't last as long. They're contact only, but they're non-discriminatory. They'll kill whatever they... If you spray a green lacewing, a ladybug, or a honeybee with them, with an oil soap, you will kill them.
What I'm hearing you say is know what insects you're going after and then use the right treatment.
Exactly. We always recommend, number one, proper, correct identification of the designated pest. Make sure it's even a pest. Make sure it's a substantial pest. There are certain pests that may be out there, but they're not going to cause substantial or significant plant damage. So get it identified. You can send samples into our department, and then that will allow you to select the appropriate insecticide or miticide, basically, depending on what type of pest. Because not all insects or mites are on the labels of pesticides. That's why you read the label. The label is the law. So that's just the steps you need to ensure. And then when you make your applications, there are three mantras. One is thorough coverage of all plant parts, especially leaf undersides, because that's where most insects and mites are at. Then there's frequency of application. How often do you spray? And you get that information off the label. And then you want to spray when the vulnerable life stages are there. And most of the vulnerable life stages are the larva, nymph, and adults. And so that's really important to maximize the effectiveness. And so if you get really high mortality, you don't have to spray as often. And that's what you want to do.
That's K-State horticultural entomologist Raymond Cloyd with information on ways to reduce the use of pesticides to treat early season insect pests. Plantarama is produced by K-State Research and Extension. This is the K-State Radio Network.